side of the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Garino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
We're Surfer on Satan's Chariot today on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show.
How apropos, such Easter music.
With your hosts, Ray Guarino, co-host Wingman, and guy at the con when I step aside,
the
Joe D. Yes.
Hey, what's up? Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter as well, Joe.
And we're up. Whatever.
And happy Passover.
Yeah, whatever belief system you is
sure.
here too, yes.
Yeah.
Spring equinox. There's all kinds of stuff going on. So,
a lot
hey.
Of stuff.
So,
we
what's
are here.
Going on?
We're back after our week hiatus because we were off due to our fundraising event earlier in the month. So,
oh, come on, be honest. They just wanted a break from
I
us.
I know. So long, Rob.
I Hi, Rob. Missed you guys last week.
We missed you, too.
Yeah, Rob. I mean, you know, a smiling face and everything, you know?
I was doing deck repair.
Yeah.
So I got to do housework. I don't know about you guys. I don't know about you.
You know, let's face it. When we're not here, we're doing something, you know, something.
Well, breaking it, then fixing it.
Right. Exactly.
So, but today
actually, that's right. I got the Hummer back to its the rightful owner last week.
Excellent.
It finally left after about a month.
That's good.
Parts procurement and, a little bit of OCB, getting the aftermarket exhaust with the no instructions and the funky hangers straightened out. Thanks, Johnny.
Right, right.
You're the man when it comes to that stuff, let's face it.
Right.
Big shout out. And Andy, I hope you're enjoying it out there.
Well, we are, we're slated to have a good show today, Joe. And people need to know how to get a hold of us. They could find us at here on WHPC or our homepage. It is our homepage, motormouthradio.com.
Right.
We also try to keep active on Instagram, which is motormouth.
Real underscore.
I went out of order. Sorry.
Yeah. Real underscore motormouth radio.
Or on Twitter, which is motormouth radio.
Right.
And on Facebook.
And Facebook, too, yes. So pretty much you can't get away from us.
That's where we put the stuff that we do during the week that we sometimes talk about here.
The shenanigans. As my grandmother used to say, email the June.
Ah, there you go. There you go. I put a little video up on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it wouldn't go on. There was some problems with the other formats during the week. But,
right, yeah.
Of a brake bleeding procedure I did again on the flatbed truck. I had to do some more hard lines.
I thought you were going to put like a little angel there with a bucket. You know,
I was thinking about an elephant at the zoo. Because I've never seen a vehicle flow so much fluid so fast. Go to real_motormouthradio on Twitter, on Instagram, and check that little 4-second video out. I think you'll be impressed.
Yeah, really, it's like Niagara Falls.
It's pretty good. But follow us on those platforms because you can also sign up for our newsletter that comes through to give you little highlights of what we've done. You can follow our Spotify page because the music you hear on the show is on a Spotify page.
Ray, you are an excellent chooser of music.
Well, you know, sometimes like today, it's like, bink, here we go. This is a Hellbound Hot Rods, which is a kind of a funky kitschy.
Is there any other place for a hot rod to be bound?
No, not at all. Not at all. But speaking of Hellbound Hot Rods and hot rods in general, we're scheduled to have our old friend, not that he's old, he's just an old friend, Tom Cotter on the show today.
Welcome back, Mr. Carter.
Wrong Carter, but... and not
really?
A Tom. Yeah.
And I was coming up with all those Barbarino jokes.
I know, you're practicing Horseshack. No, Tom has been he's known as the barn hunter, the barn find hunter, and he's... We'll let Tom talk about that, because he's great. But I want to tell you, also, coming up, we're scheduled next week to do, not be here in the studio, but to do a live remote...
From Tobey Beach.
The Town of Oyster Bay Car Show at Tobey Beach.
Yeah.
That's going to be next week. So you can come down and see us and meet us if you like. Just like a few of our listeners met us, well, got to meet me, not us, unfortunately, at the Autozeum's second sale yesterday. Mike had done sale weekend number two.
Right.
To try and clear out some of the equipment and tools and whatnot from the Autozeum. And I met a couple of our listeners, and it was kind of cool. It's nice when they realize, like, oh, that's you.
Yeah, there are people who actually we run into. As a matter of fact, shout out to my dentist, Dr. Gallo. He listens to us.
And, all right.
So there you go.
Nice.
Yeah.
I want to mention,
never
too,
know, especially when somebody's drilling you.
That's correct. Next weekend, although we won't be there, there is a car show I want to mention at the St. Patrick's School. It's the 14th annual car show. It's next weekend, the 28th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Rain date is May 5th. And this is John Falenza who puts this on. His kids were in this school years ago. Now, of course,
they've
graduated. Let me see if I can find
him. He was the guy who used to go, hello, boys!
That's the guy.
There you go.
You can go to Facebook, St. Patrick's School Car Show. And on Twitter, it's at SPS Smithtown. That'll get you there. And John's phone number, if you want to know more, is 631-588-2696. He's going to have the chitty bang bang car and a whole bunch of other stuff. And you know, John's been doing this a long time, so
yeah, that's always been like a very cool show. A lot of good stuff going on.
If you're not coming down to Tobey to see us, support John over there, and
sure,
he'll appreciate that. So
either way, there's going to be a lot of car shows happening.
Yeah.
So you know, let's face it, there's no excuse to sit home.
Tis the season, as they say.
There you go.
And let's say, as they say, tis the season. It also
push
tis the season for phone calls. So we'll say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, this is Tom Carter.
Tom,
hey,
how
Tom,
are you?
How are you? Good to hear from you.
Doing well.
We were just talking about you.
Yeah. Excellent.
Oh boy.
Well,
yeah, I was all ready to make welcome back Carter jokes, but then Ray goes, nope, wrong Carter. I was like, all right, no Barbarino for you.
Well, I gotta say, Tom, you know, we have a long history with you, and I was watching some YouTube videos, and I found this show, The Barn Find Hunter, and I'm saying, damn, that reminds me of Tom Carter. You haven't talked to him in a while, and I'm watching the show, and nowhere. Before or after did they run the credits to show, you know, give names? And one time you actually said it. You were in a car and you said, I'm Tom Carter. And I think that's it. I was like, I was 98% sure. And then there you came. So that's how that's what got us to reach out to you, because otherwise we wouldn't have known. So,
well, I've been doing that show for 4 years now. You're the only guy that hasn't found it. Yeah.
Well, you know why? Because now with a smart TV, I sit there sometimes and I'll watch YouTube and find some stuff. And so I'm late to the party. I admit that, but But I've been catching
up. Some of the shows have, you know, like 4.5 million viewers, believe it or not. But it is a continuation of what I started online when I was like a 12 or 13 year old kid throwing cars, and here I am, 65 years old. And I'm doing the same thing, and now I've expanded beyond Long Island to the United States.
Right. That's right. Now, you did start here. Your humble roots were on Long Island.
Yep.
You know, and just so people know, I look back into my records, and we first had you as a guest on the show January 8th, 2009. And then you actually came into the studio August 9th, 2009, and that was great because we were covering your books at the time, the Cobra in the Barn, the Vincent in the Barn, the Harley in the Barn, the Hemi in the Barn, all of that cool stuff.
Right.
I've done 8 books at this point, Yeah.
A lot of books. Yeah, wasn't it Lost and Found? More great barn finds. Rockin' Garages, I have a copy of that. And TV Tommy Ivo's Drag Racing. I just had a listener at the Autozeum event yesterday said to me, hey, you should get TV Tommy Ivo on the show. I said, I'd love to. You got his number? You know, so, yeah, you've...
Yeah, I've got his information. Get in touch with me afterwards. I'll I'll give you his email.
Excellent. I appreciate that. We'd love to have him on. So it's been a few years since we've actually, it was 2011, Joe. Tom was on the show with you, so I guess you were in studio at the time.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, okay.
You know, besides the deal with Haggerty and YouTube, what else is what's been on the plate for you?
Well, let's see. I'm out of the racing business, and the auto racing business. I sold my agency, and so really, you know, I guess if I was going to be, you know, what do you do for your livelihood? It would be an author, and of which there's no money to be made in that. And then it would also be Haggerty. They fly me around the country, and the Woody that I found in Brentwood on Long Island when I was 15 is one of the characters. I mean, I'm one character, and the other character is the Woody. And I drive around this Woody around the United States looking for old cars. So, and that's a real job. I mean, I get paid for that and everything. So it's pretty cool.
Great. You know, it's kind of interesting because I don't know if you got to see it. I did put an Instagram post out and a Twitter post that you were coming on, and that would happen to be the picture that I chose when I looked through Tom Cotter on Google and looked at images. I said, "That's a great picture with the Woody." I said, "Let's use that." So
I found that when I was 15 years old. It was in 1969, and it was parked behind a house on Wicks Road in Brentwood.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I wound up buying that for $300, and it's been a part of my life ever since.
Wow, that's great. What was the restoration like on something like that?
Well, when I bought it, I had no tools, I had no garage, I had no money, and no talent.
Uh-huh.
Besides that, I had everything.
Right.
And so my father and I started to restore it. Fuel pump. All needed was a fuel pump, and I could have started driving it. But I said, well, you know what? I'm a year away from getting my driver's license. I'll restore it in that year. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, I did the easy thing. I took it apart, and then it's cheap when you're turning the bolts counterclockwise. But when you start turning them clockwise, everything's got to be painted and plated, and, you know, I wound up selling the Woody in 1973 to a collector, and it wasn't done. It was only, you know, maybe 30% restored. I sold to a collector in Puerto Rico, and 26 years later, my wife investigated, found that car, and we bought it back again.
Wow.
So it's been part of my life again for the last 21 years.
That's great. That's great.
So now it's got a late model drivetrain. It's got a new wood body. It's, you know, like it's, you know, I love original vehicles, flathead powered stuff, but this was going to be a driver, and I've driven it to California 3 times now. Oh. It's been on the Barn Find Hunter Series 4 years. It's a great vehicle.
So, what did you do suspension wise on that truck to make it more roadworthy?
It's got a TCI frame, and so it's all, you know, it's like I guess a Mustang 2 type front end. It's got a 9-inch Ford rear. It's got. I'm a Ford guy. I just want to let you know I'm a Ford guy.
Oh, yeah.
It's got an LS1 Corvette motor.
Oh, cool.
Excellent.
And a 700R transmission, you know, it's overdrive. So I get 25 miles a gallon with that thing. It's just amazing. Power steering, power brakes, air conditioning.
Right.
It's just great. But, you know, to the average person, it looks like an unrestored car. I mean, it looks like a restored car. It doesn't look like a hot rod. It, you know, it's got hubcaps in it,
yes.
And it's got the right steering wheel and the right shifter. Everything looks, the gauges all look original, but they're not.
Yes.
So, you know, it fulfills my originality viewpoint and also my hot rod. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty visually convincing. I'm looking at some of the pictures online. Yeah, it's from, you know, a distance away, it sure looks like, oh, wow, look at that old Woody. Wow, he's kept it in good shape, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile.
You know,
meanwhile, I wrote a big check for that baby. I mean, I got it back from Puerto Rico, and then I had to write a big check to get it put in that condition, you know, new wood body and everything.
Oh, yeah.
That car wouldn't have happened to have been behind the Pine Park Twin Pines Elementary School in Brentwood, would it have been?
Yeah, it was, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Because our buddy Al, who's from Long Island, now he's in Jersey, he's letting us know that there was a Woody there around the same time. I guess it was that time. And at
isn't
recess,
that something?
And he says at recess, he would just stand there and stare at it. So, hey, Al.
Isn't that I was walking across that schoolyard with my buddy, and I said, look, there's a Woody. And we ran around the fence, and it belonged to Richie Taylor. His mother answered the door. I said, is that Woody for sale? She said, yeah. So we went back and looked at it, and she came out and said, you know, my son just bought a bread van. He surfs over at Gilgo Beach, and he's got a bread van now. He could sleep in there, and so he's selling the Woody. So that's the Woody. That's amazing. That guy.
Yeah.
That one of your listeners. That's amazing.
Yep. That's our buddy Jeep and Al. Yes.
It's a small planet.
Yeah. Absolutely. Man. You never know. I tell you. Well, Long Island. I mean, you know, it's just so compacted with stuff like that. Local history. It's everybody knows somebody who knows somebody, you know. It's
wow, that's amazing. I'm impressed because, you know, we're talking a half a century ago I bought that car.
Well, Al just gave me a two-word expletive as to how he feels about it too, which is amazing. Yes, absolutely. That's really cool. Yeah, that's
wow. Well, I'd like to meet Al sometime. That's great, man.
Yeah, well, we could do that because he made a trip into the studio about 2 months ago, so we could put that together. If you're ever in the area, we can make that happen.
Oh, that's amazing!
That
wow,
is so wild. I was going to say, you know, I'm not going to give it away, but I was going to say anybody who doesn't know your Ford lineage, I mean, would have to say, look, a guy who uses the part of the VIN number for his Cobra in his email address, it's obviously kind of, you know, yeah, he's a Ford guy. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I was working on the Cobra this morning. I'm getting ready. You know, it's last. I put our Cobra tours every year, and I get a group of maybe 20 friends with real Cobras, and we tour somewhere in the country. And last year it was, believe it or not, it was Alaska.
Wow!
And I don't know if you guys saw that, but a buddy of mine who was my co-driver, he left his Fig Newtons in the car one night. We woke up the next morning, and a bear had ripped the roof off. Thankfully, you know, he went after the cloth top and didn't rip the doors off, because he could have ripped the doors right off the body.
Oh,
and
sure.
So I'm so thankful. Yeah. So this year our tour will be in the Ozark Mountains of Arkansas, and so that'll be in a couple of weeks there.
Oh wow, that's great. That's fantastic.
Tune the banjos up.
You know, that's a great thing to do, and it's certainly something that we all would be inspired by. But, you know, I want to mention this one of the last episodes of the Barn Find Hunter that I watched. You went to LeClaire, Iowa, which was it's significant. And tell us why, please.
Well, let's see, LeClaire. Tell me the car.
You were looking at a Ford, an old Ford that was out front, but you found a treasure trove of Pontiacs.
Oh, yes. I had that on my list. Good. I'm glad you
LeClaire,
got to it.
LeClaire, Iowa is the home of American Pickers. And
oh, there you go. Right. Okay, that's right. It's right on the Mississippi River.
Right.
And I said, damn, wouldn't it be funny if we wound up picking right in their backyard? And we did.
And
all within like maybe a mile or two of their headquarters. And some was like literally a block or two away, but some were across the Mississippi River, but literally right across the Mississippi River, you could see their headquarters. And yeah, we found stuff like all around there.
Right.
It was such a blast.
That was Rick Riley. And I tell you, looking at the cars he had, the Le Mans collection, the GTOs, and you know, he had a what did he have in here?
It was 51 Ford Crestliners.
Oh, right. His father's cars. But he had a Riviera that he said was for sale for around about $2,500. And I said, I'll take it.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, I have to tell you, the hardest thing about being in cars and like finding great cars and the price is right and saying, well, I'm not going to buy it.
Right.
Yeah, that's got to be rough.
Yeah.
But let me tell you this. This is pretty cool. Do we have a time limit? Because I can go all day.
No, we're only on for an hour, so
rock on, dude.
We can go for a while longer. Yeah.
So you know, we sit down with the Hagerty people. Say, do you want to go next? And we were in San Diego, and I said, next month, let's go to Midland, Texas. I said, why do you want to go to Midland, Texas? You guys know why I would want to go there.
Why does that ring a bell?
I can't.
Well, that's where Jim Hall built the Chaparral Can-Am car.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Yes.
So this little town that's 7 miles by 7 miles in the middle of nowhere in western Texas, this is where some of the most innovative race cars in the world were built. And so I said, well, let's just go there. I've always wanted to see it. So we're, you know, we met the Chaparral people and all that stuff. But then driving around town and come across this guy's little stash of old Fords, mostly old Fords in his yard, maybe a couple other cars, but in his yard behind his shop. He was a hobbyist. And he's got all these cars, and I knock on his door. And he said, yeah, go back there, you know, but I got to tell you, they've been sitting back there for so long, I think I'm getting ready to crush them all. Like, you know, like I've gotten all the fun I can get out of them, all the parts.
Oh,
I'm
no! Not
gonna
know
them.
Wow.
So I'm walking around, and I walk and look at this car, but I kept on going back to the 62 Ford station wagon.
Ah.
And I said, you know, there's something about this car, real like, didn't have an engine, didn't have a transmission, didn't have wheels, just sitting on the ground in Texas. And I said, you know, when I was a kid, there was a commercial for J-Wax Kit Auto Wax, and this guy went to a junkyard, and he waxed his fender up, came up with...
Yeah.
Son of a gun. I said, do you have any compound ranch? That shop comes out, and he... This like dry pink looking car is red, and that's a 62 Ford color red. It looked, I said, I'd love to buff this thing out. So he gets a big forklift and brings it over to the shop, and I get a buffer on there, and I polish that fender, and it shines like $1 million. And this is a junkyard wagon. And I said, damn, what do you want
make
for
them
this
like
thing?
They used to.
Yeah, what do you want for it? Right, right.
What do you want for this thing? He said, I'll tell you what. I'll sell it for $2,000, and I'll give you every part you need. I'll give you the engine. I'll give you the transmission. I'll give you every part, every piece of trim, everything you need for this car. So I think about it, You know, and I talked to Haggerty. I said, I got this idea. And they said, if you want it, let's go for it. So we want to buy this car out of this guy's yard and for $2,000. And this guy, Tom Cross, what an amazing guy. He, you know, had the engine rebuilt. And he had, you know, the transmission rebuilt and all the stuff put in there, dual exhaust and new wheels and tires and all that stuff, all for $2,000. And I'm gonna pick up a week from today. I'm gonna pick it up from Midland, Texas, drive it to McPherson, Kansas, doing Barn Find Hunter episodes along the way, and then we're gonna donate it to McPherson College, which is the only school in America that offers a 4-year automotive restoration bachelor's degree,
right?
And we're going to give it to him as a shop vehicle. So it's going to be so this was a junkyard car that, you know, we had very little invested in it, except we found a real nice man to do a lot of work. We went down with students from McPherson that worked on it over the winter, and it's just killer. So you guys watch the internet over the next couple of weeks, and you're going to see this old Ford wagon that literally was going to the crusher.
Wow.
And now it's a new life. It's just amazing.
Episode 34, right?
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Yeah, we will definitely keep in touch with that, because we want to see what's...
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to revive that episode we did there, and it, we're going to update it as a finished car. So we're going to show it as a junkyard car, show it in the process of being worked on, and then we're going to show it driving 1,000 miles to Kansas. It's going to be a blast.
Nice. Yeah. Tom, we want to ask you to stay on with us for a couple, just for a short break while we take care of a little bit of business here. And and we'll come back. Well, I think I'm getting hungry. It's time for a taco. So let's go see if we can find a taco wagon.
Let's go.
And we'll be back with a little bit more.
Vámonos!
Ray Guarino, Joe D., and Tom Cotter on Motormouth Radio. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
This show is brought to you by the Town of Oyster Bay Car Show, happening Sunday, April 28th at Tobey Beach off Ocean Parkway from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
This is a free community event featuring a judge car show, children's activities, clothing and craft vendors, and a food truck midway. Visit WHPC's Motormouth Radio broadcasting live at noon. More information is available online at carshowli.com.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D., talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motormouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
We are back with Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D., and Mr. Tom Cotter, the Barn Find Hunter, on the phone. All right, we've reset our clocks, Tom, so we're back for more fun.
All right.
You know, you have a tagline that I think you've mentioned way back when you were first in here with us, and it's so true, and it is persistence pays off.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, you're one of the guys that the other people in the industry look up to when it comes to finding cars, because we've talked to other people who do that over the years, and whenever we mention, like, oh yeah, well, you know, Tom Cotter, oh Tom, my God, he's the god of finding cars.
He wrote the book,
and you know, I don't know if it's, I'm sure there's a lot of elements to it, but when you were in the studio, when you were in with us years ago, you gave us some tips and tricks, and I think you published it in one of the books too. That was
I think I had like 34 tips between two books I did. Yeah.
What are the top like
things like?
Yeah, the top four or five maybe.
Yeah. Well, one you just missed because your vision is like so much further, and you could never see a fender or a piece of chrome off the road long distance in the winter time. But the winter leaves, and there you go. That's one. Go ask like old mechanics in town. Go to a small town and ask the old mechanics, the auto parts store. Who, you know, is there an old guy in town that collects old cars? And most of the time, they say, yeah, old Joe. He's got a whole backyard full of them. You know, that kind of. I'll tell you, through the Barn Find Hunter, I've come up with the best one. The best one. And I never realized it before. But when I do a Barn Find Hunter episode, and I have my best sticker, if I were driving a new SUV or, you know, a shiny pickup truck, I'd be a poser. But I drive an 80-year-old car, and suddenly people see me as a player. And I'll pull it some kind of, you know, one guy was he was kind of a crabby hillbilly in West Virginia, and he had a whole field, a whole mountainside full of cars. And I know he was going to kick us out. And he saw my Woody, and he said, you want some iced tea?
Nice.
Like, suddenly he wanted to talk to me as much as I wanted to talk to him. So,
yeah. You know, my new
mantra is is to find interesting cars, drive an interesting car.
I think that reminds me of, I think of all of Guthrie, and I say, and they all move back on the bench.
Yep.
You know?
The Group W bench. Yeah, we know that one.
Exactly. Because you're right. You establish your credibility by, you know, the way you walk the walk, talk the talk, and drive the rod. So,
and you know, time you go to the gas, you're standing at the gas pump, people come over and talk to you.
Yes.
You go to a restaurant, you park outside the restaurant, people wonder, whose car is that out there? And that just begins conversation about people. Everybody knows somebody with an old car. And if you just, oh, yeah, I know that guy. Sure, check him out. So I tell you, this is the best thing I've ever come up with, drive an old car.
Yeah. I've gotten that even with my older cars when I'm in the gas station. People come up and say, hey, is that a so-and-so? Or oh, my dad had one of those, or my uncle. And, you know, they're just conversation starters. And sometimes you're like, yeah, but I got to go. I got to, like, I'm on a time crunch. I really want to sit and talk to you, but, you know.
Yeah.
So it's,
you know, it's funny, though. Sometimes I'll drive a Cobra, right? I'll be driving my Cobra. It's a real Cobra. It's a real. And people come up to you and say, you know, in college, I used to have a Common Gear.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, it was a little car. It had no top, yes.
You know, I'll give you the reverse of that. I have a Fiat Spider, a little, you know, 124 Fiat Spider that I drive. And it's a little customized. It's not stock, because nothing I have is stock. Totally.
Yeah, you can't leave long enough alone, can you? Yeah.
So I was in Huntington with it a couple summers ago, and I was sitting at a light, and guy pulls up next to me in a van, and I can just tell he's... he's eyeing the car. He's eyeing me. He's eyeing the car, and he's just looking. And finally, I was resisting the temptation to look over, but I finally did. And he says to me, "Yo, that's a nice car." I'm like, "Really?" I'm like, no one's ever said that before.
Wow.
DWI, huh?
Yeah. And he said to me, he said, "It's a Ferrari, right?" And I was like, "Whoa!"
Wow.
I was like, "Well, cousins, but what makes you say this is a Ferrari?" I said, if this is the Ferrari that it would close any way, shape, or means resemble, but it'd be like a 250 GT.
Yeah, you know, right.
I was like, I wouldn't, you know, I couldn't afford it. And he says, well, I see the F on the side of the car. He's seeing the F for Pininfarina, right? And I said, no, that's Pininfarina. That was a designer. I said, sorry to burst your bubble, but this is a Fiat. He's like, wow, dude. He goes, beautiful car. I never would have known. And then we just took off, and it hit me like a minute later, like, damn, that was like reverse profiling. That was
really seriously, cool.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So what, DWI is driving while Italian? Is that what it is?
Yes, for us, yeah. For me and Joe, it is, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I was thinking maybe this guy might have been driving while impaired.
Or he like, was, right.
That thing wasn't a, you know, I think it was a Ferrari. I mean, no offense to the Fiat, Ray.
I love that car,
but, you know.
I know.
I mean, let's face
it. Hey, I was just as amazed, because like Tom said, you know, you got a real bona fide Cobra and people telling you about their Common Gear. Usually I get in the gas station, people say, hey, is that an MG? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
An MG.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And there's usually,
so let me
no
tell you about barn find hunting.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the other side of the country to find barn finds. Literally, where I'm sitting, my house in North Carolina, I've got a big piece of property, and it goes down to a fence line. And on the other side of the fence line is a farm. And there's a barn on that farm. And until I realized it, I've been driving by this barn for 20 years. And you always wonder, well, it could be an old truck. It could be an old car in there. Maybe it's a pile of hay or a tractor. But, you know, I found out that the guy, I have an AC Cobra. The guy over there in the barn has an AC Greyhound, same car company in England. And it's been parked in that barn for a half a century.
Wow.
Because he couldn't get a part for it. So literally, cars could be as close as your next door neighbor.
Right.
And probably one of the best barn find hunter programs I did was about a year and a half ago in Charlotte, near where I live, 20 miles. Guy called me and said, you know, I got to get these cars out of my garage. Can you give me a hand? The town wants to tear the house and the garage down because it's, you know, they're falling apart. And this is in the right neighborhood. This is where doctors and dentists live and stuff. It's called Myers Park. And I go down there, and in the garage, I'm going to start. I'll start with the lowest one. He had a little 3-series BMW, little X, like 325X, which is 4-wheel drive. Okay, forget that.
Right.
He had a TR6 Triumph that he bought new that had 8,000 miles on it.
Wow.
He had a Morgan V8 with 12,000 miles on it.
Jeez.
He had a 427 Cobra that he bought for $42,000 in the early 80s with 17,000 miles on it, and a 275 GTB long nose aluminum body Ferrari that he bought in the early 80s for $47,000 with 15,000 miles on it. And he said, I got to get these cars out of here. Can you help me move them to a storage building? And I helped him move them. And he thought he was broke. He thought, like, he had gone through some bad times in his life and wasn't in a good place in his head. And I said, look, I can probably help you, you know, line up some auction companies, whatever. Anyway, for the Cobra and the Ferrari, which, by the way, mice had been living in for 4 decades stunk and his mouse was. He got $3.5 million for those two cars.
Shut on.
And that's 20 miles from where I live. That's like the ultimate barn find, a Cobra and a Ferrari in the same building.
Right.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that's cool. You know, some of the tips you told us, I remember one in the past you said, you ride a bicycle through your neighborhood.
Or jog or run, yep.
Right.
Go nice and slow. And on a Saturday or Sunday, the garage doors are open and you can see what's in there. And if you're walking, you can stop and look for a little while.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing was that you said, we all take the same routes to go where we're going, but go the other way.
Yeah,
and
take alternatives.
You know, the other
dead end roads, you know, no outlet roads, the roads that people avoid.
Yeah.
Well, probably 99% of the people don't want to go down there because they know they have to make a 3-point turn to get out.
Right.
You go down there and there might be something there.
Sure.
You know, so.
And as long as you're not driving your long bed truck with a trailer on the back, it'll be easy for you to turn around. So
no
kidding.
Especially again with a bike or something. Right. Well, Ray, you're always sending. You know, you send me pretty regularly pictures of. Well, maybe not cars on that level, but you know, the odd Camaro, GTO, Nobles, Chevelle.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a bit of that stuff on the island still of like the '60s and '70s vintage.
Yeah.
So that must be. That's a good tactic you used.
I've listened to Tom. Tom, you know, our thoughts on this were, and a lot of people have echoed this, that things like the TV auctions, like Meekum and of course, Barrett Jackson, have killed it for everybody because now everybody thinks whatever they have is worth a fortune. How do you feel about that?
Between the auctions on TV and eBay, everybody with a rusty 4-door Nova thinks it's, you know, it's going to pay off their mortgage.
Right.
You know, it's just... So you just got to deal with it. That's the new world we live in, and everybody's doing that. Everybody's a little bit smarter than they used to be. But, you know, my feeling is, like, I have a Shelby right now, a 67 GT 500. I bought it from the second owner. I've had it for 15 years. He had it for 35 years.
Yeah, and it's the automatic one, right?
Automatic. Yeah. And, you know, people say, how did you get it? Everybody tried to get that car for years. How did you get it? I said, I offered him a fair price.
Right.
And that's it. Everybody else wanted to rip them off and offer them like, you know, 10 grand for it or something.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, this is what they're worth, and this is what I'm going to offer you. And he said, that sounds fair. It's yours.
Right.
So, you know, it comes down to you don't want to rip off an old lady with a car that her husband left her. You don't want to be that person.
Right.
You know, like, you know, maybe some of your listeners do, but I have to hope that people who listen to you guys have integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to be the ones that kind of steal money from the old lady. You know, you just do the right thing. And that way, Barrett Jackson and eBay, you know, they won't bother you.
Right. I think that's great advice. So on the other side, we've been talking about cars. What's what about the motorcycle world? What's been happening in that realm with you?
Well, yeah, I guess I'm not really a motorcycle guy. I wrote a couple of books on motorcycle barn finds, but you know, I don't own a motorcycle. I don't ride one, but I love them. And the good thing about them, when you find them, like in a garage, there's like 12 in there. You can find one car in a garage or 12 motorcycles in the same garage.
Yeah, you can store a hell of a lot more motorcycles than you can cars.
Right. Yeah. So I didn't really get that gene the way I got the car gene, but you know, a lot of friends of mine, you know. Peter Egan and Jay Leno and stuff. I mean, they're big bike guys. And a guy I really made friends with is Pat Simmons from the Doobie Brothers. Got a when he was traveling around the country, when the Doobies were like the hottest ticket, and they'd be in a tour van, and he'd have way pre-internet, hit up Henry's Motor News, and they'd say to his tour bus driver, you know what, go through that little town of South Dakota. The guy's got three old Indians for sale. And they'd throw him in the trailer in the back. And now he's got all these bikes that he bought 40 years ago.
That's great.
You know, yeah.
I got to throw out two names of guys that that know you from back in the day here on Long Island is Bill Dugan and Mike Mooney.
yes, sir.
I'm still, Bill built the engine for my Pontiac, and I'm still in touch with both of these guys on a regular basis. So I just told them.
Mike lives near me, but, it's funny. Mike lives near me, and I haven't seen him in years. Mm-hmm. He's the Griffith guy, and you got Sunbeam Tiger.
That's right.
And then Billy Dugan. These guys were my heroes when I was in high school. Like these guys, Mike Mooney was a cop, and he drag raced, and he road raced, and man, he just, that's who I wanted to be.
Yeah.
You know, and Billy Dugan, I mean, he built this great, Dukes. I think it was a Duster.
Yeah.
You know, like a 340, just great guys, brilliant machinists. Yeah.
Bill is still building engines out of his garage machine shop. He's still cranking them out.
You know, in Ronkonkoma?
Yeah, still doing the thing. Yeah. Still doing it out there.
Wow.
So, I just told him I promised him I'd shout him out to you. So the hometown is still very fond of Mr. Carter, as they say.
Yeah, when I go back there, you know, my mother-in-law lives just off the lake, a couple blocks away at Five Corners, and I'm a runner, so I run around the lake, you know, every time I go back, just for old time's sake.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Dills. Oh, that's cool. That is good, Dills. So, what's coming up for the future, Tom? What do you have your sights planned on? Anything, or do you just play kind of fast and loose?
We have we just did our 26th state in Barn Finder. Utah was our 26th state, and interestingly, you know, like I just, let's go to Utah. We'd never, and so we went to a town called St. George, Utah. And it started off slow, knock on doors and asking the auto parts stores, and little by little, and bam, all of a sudden, you get in with the car groups. I didn't know that Mormons built rat rods, but they did. Oh, I mean, they these are the nicest people in the world. They never stop smiling. They're friendly. They're happy. And then they show you this, like, rusty car with 600 horsepower. Like, wow, you built that? Well, yeah.
Wow.
You know, these are like businessmen and stuff. They're cool. Yeah. So that was our 26th state. And so we're going to hit this summer, we're going to hit Montana, maybe Idaho, Wyoming. And then we already made plans. We're going to go to Hawaii in January to do barn find hunting. So, you know, the plan is to get all 50 states. So last year we spent a number of days in Alaska and found some really cool stuff up there. So, I mean, this whole country is filled with old cars, I promise you this.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
And I would get somebody to kidnap me and blindfold me and bring me to a town somewhere in the United States and then just say, okay, go find a car.
Yeah.
And let's see how long it took me to find a car.
And you will. Yeah, you will. That's for sure. That's cool.
Do you find that the climate makes a difference in how many hits you get when you go to, say, like a state like, say, Utah, where it's warm and, you know, hot and dry, or say, like Nevada versus...
We went to a junkyard in Utah, in St. George, and this junkyard had been closed to the public for 20 years.
Okay.
And these guys said, wow, you know, there's a big bunch of cars behind those walls, but you'll never get in there. It's 20 acres. The guy's fee isn't open. Anybody's closed to the public. I said, really? So that all I have to do is hear something
challenge
like that, and you
accepted.
Can't go in there, right? That's my challenge.
Right.
So I find this guy's phone number. It's like, you know, I forget the name of the place, Taylor's Junkyard or something like that. It's closed. But I call the number, number's out of service, but it gives a referral number. Well, it turns out that went to his house.
Huh.
It's just an old guy. And I call up and say, hi, my name is Tom Cotter, and I have this 39 Ford, and I drive around the country looking for old cars. And I heard you have a bunch of cars, and I don't want to buy any, but I'd sure like to see them and, you know, hear the story about them. He said, he calls me back. He says, you really want to see them? I said, yeah. He said, I'll meet you there at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And we spent 5 hours with a guy that everybody in town was afraid of. He was a pussycat. He was a wonderful guy. You know, you have to be a salesman. You kind of have to sell yourself.
Right. That's right.
Sure.
You know, we have two thoughts here. Al is telling us that if you're hitting Idaho, the Sandpoint area is the place to go during their annual show and hot rod parade. And our buddy Glenn, the car hunter in Tennessee, is recommending the rod run down there in Pigeon Forge.
I don't look for shiny cars. I look for rusty, dusty cars. So I don't really go towards rod runs and car shows because everything's pretty, and I want to find the cars that nobody knows about.
Actually,
sometimes I go to a Cars and Coffee to get leads, but I find so many times that the guys with the real pretty muscle cars and street rods and stuff, they bought them on eBay, and they don't really know much about cars. They retired and had a hunk of money, and they decided, I'm going to get a nice car. So I find just going off the beaten path is my success formula.
Okay. Glenn, correct me, it's Maryville, as they say it down there in Tennessee. But they have, he sends me a lot of pictures, and a lot of these guys are driving rat rods or just kind of something that was taken out of the barn and kind of redone, I don't know, like a pre-resto rod. So there's a lot of cool stuff down there.
The funny thing was going to Alaska, you think all the car there is going to be rotted to pieces. Man, there's no rust in Alaska, especially if you go in interior Alaska, like Fairbanks,
where
it's so dry that even when it snows, the snow evaporates. It's dry. It's dusty.
Nice.
One guy who used to go around the state looking for old Broncos, he had a Bronco in his yard that he started to fix up that he kind of lost interest in. And he stripped the paint off one quarter panel. 6 years ago, sitting out in his backyard in Alaska for 6 years with no paint, and there was no rust on it. It was just like shiny metal. I said, how did this happen? He said, we don't get rain here. It gets snow, and it evaporates, and otherwise it's like a desert.
Yeah, which in contrast to Long Island, we strip a piece of metal, and in 6 minutes it's rusty.
Yeah, you go grab a soda and come back, the thing's all...
I know, shot. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why I was wondering about the climate, because there's got to be some stuff out there that you could probably find some real good metal.
Well, I did a book. It was Route 66 Barn Find Road Trip, and I drove the Woody from Chicago to L.A., and, so it starts off in the north, and and I'd stay on Route 66 all the way, looking for cars on that road, and... you find cars up in Chicago and Indiana, Illinois, and they're interesting, but they're rusty. But then, a week later, 2 weeks later, you're on the same road, but you're in New Mexico. Whew. Let me tell you something. If you're listening to this program and you live up north, go down south and west, because, cars out there have good bones. And no matter if you buy a rusty car from up north, you can never put good bones back into a car. You might weld and do everything, but it's always going to be kind of a Frankenstein car. You go out west and you can fall like a Midland, Texas car, this wagon we got. Holy mackerel. What a car. You can even use the paint that's 60 years old. Sure. The paint's still good on it.
That's great. That's fantastic. Well, Tom, we're going to have to cut and run because we got to do... We got the end of the show coming, so our time is short. But we appreciate you coming on. We thank you for coming back with us on Motor Mouth Radio.
What a great interview.
Yeah.
Happy Easter. I'd love to do this again and again.
I will keep in touch
with
you.
By all means.
In fact, I'm going to reach out to you for that TV Tommy Ivo info when we'll try and
get it. I want to meet that guy with the who knows about the schoolyard in Brentwood. That knocked me for a loop.
Jeep and Al will certainly, because he's a good friend of ours, and I'm sure he'd be happy to meet you as well. So hopefully we can put
that
together.
Out of dozens of listeners.
Yeah, right.
Who knew, right?
Who knew? Tom,
thank
you very much, and we'll be in touch. We'll talk with you again. So, how can people get in touch with you or reach out to you if they want? Do you have information you want to get out?
Well, go on Facebook.
Okay.
Cool.
And they find you under how?
Tom Cotter.
Tom Cotter
on
Facebook.
Yeah.
Excellent. Very good. We'll do that.
All right,
Tom. Thank you very much. Thanks, Tom. Bye-bye. All right, Tom. So long. That was Mr. Tom Cotter, a good old friend of ours. You can, if you've come in late to the show, you can catch it on the website probably sometime tomorrow as a replay. And also, it's on iHeartRadio and Spreaker. And you catch that podcast. So for now, we're going to take a last break here because we've been a little remiss with our breaks, but that's okay. We have good guests.
We're going to get spanked.
We have good guests. We let that stuff go. So you know what? I think it's time for some tequila, Joe.
Okay.
On 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
It's Tuesday night at 8. Do you know where your children are?
It's not Tuesday night at 8 right now.
It's 8 p.m. somewhere. It's time for the Rock Binge.
But it's not 8 p.m. here. What's the Rock Binge?
I'm ready!
You know, the Rock Binge, where it plays modern rock and alternative music in a class of its own, with the latest rock news, too. Is it Tuesday night at 8 yet?
No. The show sounds cool and all, but maybe you need to buy a new watch or something?
No, I do not need a new watch. I just can't wait for it to be Tuesday night at 8. Why would you want to miss out on classic SpongeBob lines or this amazing voice?
All right, I get it. All right, I'll listen, I promise.
All right, is it Tuesday night at 8 now?
No, it's not.
How about now?
Stop asking!
You gotta turn on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All right, forget it. If you can't beat them, join them. Is it Tuesday night at 8 now?
Let me check my watch. Nope, not yet.
Wait.
Ah, tequila. It's a little Tequila Joe from the great Hot Rod. What did I say it was? It was, I forget what I said.
Hellbound Hot Rods.
Hellbound Hot Rods, thank you. And while you're listening to Tequila Joe, you can always tune in to Lyrical Ladies Fridays at 2 p.m. on this great station. That's a show dedicated to women in music within the last 50 years, from Joni Mitchell to Alicia Keys. These women have left their mark. The songs these women have written and performed over the years will forever leave an impact on the music industry, hosted by Becky Davidson. And that's another great show here on WHPC.
There's a ton of them.
So that
not
was
just us.
That's correct.
Or Kim. Or Rob.
That's right. Of course, you want to listen to, well, people always listen to Thunder Road after us because they tune in to hear Thunder Road.
Right.
Hoping we're not on. So.
Right. Hey, where's Kim? Sorry, not yet.
I tell you,
hold your horses.
That life that Tom is leading is great. I'd love to drive around the country and get to do stuff like that.
What
a great time, you know?
Jeez, yeah.
And, you know, you were just ruminating on the break about the cars that you'd like to find, and me as well, you know.
Sure, we have to head out into the desert and see if we can find them out. Yeah, you know, just come back with a big trail load of...
they're out
okay.
there.
Okay, well, I hope my wife's not listening, because then I'm going to get smacked. No more cars!
I know. You know, Mike
that's
and I,
enough!
Mike and I were driving around the other day. We did after I repaired the flatbed, we did a test drive. And going through the back streets, I said, let's see if anything new popped out so far, because the weather's getting nice.
Right.
Nope, the same Camaro was there, and the same ones are still there from over the winter. So the deck hasn't shuffled yet, but I'm sure it will.
Yeah, stuff will be happening. You know, that stuff, it might move slowly, but it's definitely not static.
Well, and you know, and some stuff just stays in that garage, especially with everything piled around it. You know, the paint cans, the pool toys, the this and that. You know,
let's face it, it just becomes a staple. It becomes a structural member.
You know, and speaking of that, I heard from our patriarch Chris Switzer this week, but I didn't get to ask him because it was a quick hit back and forth. I didn't get to ask him if he's done any more work on his Chrysler 300. So I don't know how that's.
There have been no mushroom clouds from that part of the. You know,
none that I saw.
Right. So we're probably safe for another week. Yeah.
But I don't know if he's... I was curious if he had taken that carburetor apart yet and done any work with that thing. So
let's face it, those carburetors, after they sit for a long time, they just turn to jello, to put it politely.
Well, yeah, he's got a Holley 600 on there, so it's...
Oh, it's a Holley. For some reason, I thought it was a Carter. Okay.
No.
To Holley?
Yeah, he's got a Holley 600 and, 4160, model 4160, so it's, bread and butter.
Very good straight-up carburetor.
I told him, very easy to rebuild. The hardest part that I've found on Holleys that have sat are getting the gaskets off the metering block and the fuel block. They just don't. Especially if they're real Holley gaskets.
Yeah, those are on there like death. Let's face it. So yeah,
they coated them with something that was like, I don't know what it was, but it was like epoxy.
Well, actually kind of turned that way. They were always a little sticky, but
and to that note, I've actually had carburetors where I've gone to loosen the float bowl screws or bolts, and they were loose already.
Right.
But the thing wasn't leaking. Those things seal so well.
They knew what they were thinking when they designed them like that too.
Yeah, yeah.
But you also got to remember too, you got to make sure that you get all the passages clear.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because if any of that stuff builds up in the passages, say from the accelerator pump or like the idle circuit or whatever, the thing's going to run, still run like a baggie. You know what?
Yeah, you got to rebuild it.
Yeah,
you got to soak it good in carburetor cleaner. And compressed air.
Well, the switches, White Wolf, would probably work pretty good for that.
Yeah, it may melt the metal, though. I know, I learned many, many years ago that one of the biggest problems with most carburetors, when you take them apart, the biggest problem, besides an accelerator pump being bad, is dirt. It's dirt or stuff that gets into the passages. So
yeah,
they just need to be cleaned.
Yes.
That's the thing.
A clean carburetor is a happy carburetor.
I just revisited on my own car, my Pontiac. I have that issue where the car runs fine, it performs fine with the Edelbrock carburetors, but at an idle in my garage, I could die because it's so rich.
Right.
And I was going to do a few things. I reached out to a couple of carburetor experts, and one guy said to me, you really got to verify, what's the fuel pressure? And I said, I never really verified the fuel pressure in a car.
Mm.
Even though I'm using and he addressed it. He says, even with a stock pump, which is what I'm using, a mechanical pump, he said he's seen some stock pumps give you like sometimes up to 10 PSI.
Which is not good for the...
And the Carter wants...
The needle and seats just say,
right.
Are you kidding me?
They're saying the Carters really want between like 4 to 6.
Yeah, I was going to say like 5 to 7, yes.
So what I had, the only thing I had in my arsenal, I have a fuel pressure gauge somewhere, but I know I have a kit that's a fuel injection fuel pressure gauge.
Oh, so that's not even on the scale on that for them puppies.
Well, I took the block and I plumbed it in. It wasn't too hard to do. A couple of pieces of hose and whatnot. And I'll show you.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, jeez. Yeah, it's kind of spending a lot of time down by the zero mark. But yeah, it's first, like 3-4 pounds, yeah.
The first tick mark isn't two. The first tick mark, I think, is
so that's four. That's like 4 PSI, yeah.
And I think it was like almost 6. If you look where
yeah,
five,
sure. No
you
glasses.
Could, you could expand it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was like at about 5-6 PSI. So
yeah, which is reasonable, yeah.
I said, okay, that's all right.
I personally still cheat and I still use my vacuum gauge. My Snap-on has since passed on to the great beyond. But, them Harbor Freight ones work good. And, people don't realize that, that the vacuum gauge also acts as a low pressure gauge, too.
It says fuel pump tester on many.
Exactly, yeah. And like, what's that mean? I'm like,
except
tee it in.
Don't put it on the output side because there goes your gauge. You got to put it on the input side.
Right.
It's got to read the vacuum, right?
Exactly.
So I verified that. That's okay. Next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to lower the floats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Edelbrock calls for 7/16 of an inch.
Right.
So I'm gonna lower them. I haven't decided how much I want to lower them yet, though. That's what I'm kind of ruminating about before I...
Sure. The plugs come out black, or...
No. Plugs are okay.
Hmm.
Plugs are okay. Because drivability is fine.
Right.
And I don't sit and idle the car.
Right. At some point, we got to see if we could, scoff off a gas analyzer.
That's what I love to do.
Yeah. Now, the only thing is those things have pretty much gone the way of the what he called.
Right. Well, let's see if we can go to the phones and get some gas and say, hi, you're out the Motor Mouths.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Vic, how are you?
Vic.
Hey. Yeah, happy Passover, happy Easter.
Yeah.
If you're an atheist, Sunday. Right?
Right. You got it.
Yeah. It's some day for every day there.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Remember that next week, along with those two shows, is Wicks Road, Long Island Street Rod, okay. Connecticut Street Rod, and Carlisle.
Yeah, Carlisle, that's right. Yeah, the biggie.
A lot happening in one day.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Find the place. Yeah, find the place. You'll find something that suits your
yeah,
taste.
Yeah, and right now it's the Garden City Show.
That's right, the Easter Parade.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I believe it kicks off right now. Hmm. I know the parking lot was 3/4 full when I spoke to my friend John about an hour ago.
Okay.
So that's a good little one-block charity show, but if you're listening to us, you ain't going to make it.
A lot of people do listen at the show, and we were, we've always talked about heading over there, but yeah, that's right by where the Autoseum was, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
How'd the sale go yesterday?
It was light because of the rain. It was really rainy in the morning, you know.
Yeah.
Still stuff left. The welder you were looking for is not there. That's gone. There is a really big hunkin'. It's got to be a commercial grade Miller. It's a big, big Mama Luke. Oof.
Big welder.
Yeah, the MIG TIG, everything in one.
Just like a MIG. Yeah. I think it's a MIG. Was it 220? So I don't know. It's a big, big machine. Bigger than you were looking for. But
yeah. Yeah, I got a 220 already. I just want a 125 for doing tin work.
Right. Yeah, that works out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't get to mention earlier, but we now that I got you on the line, we did have a passing in our community this past week. That's right. Joe's giving you Willie Hassick has passed, and it's what do you say? I don't know what you say. But I feel we should.
He died in his sleep. He was a lucky person.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
He was a racer right until the end.
Yeah. How old was Willie, Vic?
He got old. What? 73.
73. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's,
he was healthy as hell on Thursday when I saw him last.
Mm-hmm.
So wow. He was supposed to have gone to the track with Mike Danielli, who Mike and myself knew Willie at least 50 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Mike went with him from 15 years old to the track with all of his cars.
Right. Of course, the Fun City Hauler being the one most people remember.
Well, you got the Mouse Factory, too.
That's right. Right.
And Willie owned a lot of his own cars.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew Belmore Brake, you knew his Chevy flatbed out back, which is just a basic tilted flatbed with, 55, 6, 7, 8, 9 Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was the shoebox that he bought from Jerry Yurick, Nova. Then he had the 60 wagon. Then he had a 59 Vet modified production car, which was killer.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. The lift went down on when he worked in Norbell.
Oh, geez, really?
Yeah. He came in the morning and the car was on its side.
Oh no!
So anytime you went to a shop where they had an old hydraulic lift, Willie would have a piece of spring that he put under the gear at night.
Yep.
Every night before he left.
I used to work for Caesar when he was up on the corner there where the 7-Eleven is, American. And he didn't tell me this, but as I'm working on a car, I noticed next thing I know, I'm in a crouch position. He goes, oh, yeah, the lift just sinks a little bit. I'm like, well, why don't you tell me that? He's like, well, we always chalk it up if we're going to leave it up. I'm like, well, thanks for telling me, Caesar.
Willie always had a fast boat, too. That was one thing with him. And he lived right on Miller Place in Freeport, which is one block over from Woodcleft.
Right.
And we'd go out on the boat, we'd have a couple beers with us, and we'd just sit in the bay or something like that. If it was like glass, we'd go some park the boat and have some beers and talk. Or sometimes we'd go over to Island Park. And one night we're coming back, it is black as hell, and he's got this thing wide open going through the flats.
Uh-huh.
So I say to him, Willie, where's the channel marker? He goes, right around here, as it almost skims my hand. I said, can we slow down now?
All right, well, we got to slow down and get out of here.
I know.
Vic, thanks for calling.
All right, have a good one, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Have a great one, everybody.
All right. This is Ray and Joe, Motormouth Radio. We're out. Catch us next week at our live remote from Tobey Beach. Stay tuned for Thunder Road.
Happy Easter.
Bye.
Bye.